Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with psychic Cynthia Killian. Cynthia first realized she had psychic abilities at a very young age and has been doing readings for more than 25 years. Hi, I'm Carol Hughes, in today for Tony Bruschi, and on this episode of The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with psychic Cynthia. In Cynthia, I've always thought there's some overlap between intuition and psychic abilities because some people have really strong intuition. So what would you suggest to someone who wants to explore their own psychic abilities?
One of the number one most important things, and it's often overlooked, is to trust your intuition, your signs. If you get anything that you think might be a sign or an intuition, actually to pay attention, paying attention. Being psychic is essentially, when you strip it down to its fundamentals, it's all about paying attention, tuning in, and asking questions. And if you can do those three things, like in yourself, you know, asking for guidance, asking for information, like you shared a story before we came on the air about asking for a sign, you know, about an important life, you know, event. Yes, ask for it, be open, be receptive. You've got to pay attention to these things. You know, that's really what it boils down to.
And right.
And like what we had here where the table moved where
the table kind of moved by itself a little bit.
And made a lot of noise. Somebody's here with us, right? And they're excited. The spirits are excited. They love that you're doing this work. And, you know, that's the other part too. As you get started paying attention, you'll start to get signs and communications and, you know, inspirations. And if you acknowledge it, like that's why I made a point of acknowledge it. I mean, you don't have to make a huge deal about it. But you acknowledge it, then you'll get more. It's like a loop, that a positive loop, right? Instead of the negative loop we're talking about earlier with the gotta go mind. Mm-hmm.
And the table thing we were just talking about was very loud. And it definitely got both of our attention.
Yes.
So it was like somebody was trying to make us aware, okay, awesome, I want to sit in on this.
Right. That's, and it's not always loud. I will say it's not always loud. It's sometimes very subtle. It's, you know, sometimes
I agree soft. With that. And I think that the case we were talking about, when I asked for a sign, it was when my dog was very, very sick, and I knew I had to make a difficult decision, and I asked for a sign and went outside. Within 3 minutes, a hummingbird flew up and was just looking at me, and I love birds. I think there's a special, I don't know what it is, my connection with birds. They're all over my house, but I just love them, and to have that happen, I was like, is that my sign? It wasn't like an over the head written in the sky. Today is the day you're making the right decision. But it came to me in this beautiful way.
Right.
I think that people sometimes don't notice the sign. And a lot of times I think people who have passed can share a sign with their loved one, but you have to be open to it. And it's not also written in the sky. It could be something
little.
Well,
it's often not obvious, like, well, I don't know. I think it is when people tell me about their signs, though. I often think, well,
but they question
it. What else? Yeah. So I think that's because we have been conditioned. You know, you can kind of get into mass psychology here. We have been conditioned to question anything other than what we can, you know, touch with our physical senses. We've been conditioned to question, you know, we've been conditioned that there's no life after death. You know, there's no, you know, it's all kind of side effect of reductionistic science. I mean, there are other forms of science, okay? But that has impacted us far, far more than we know. So, you know, to be in the realm of the psychic, I'm not saying just to be a psychic, but to engage in this realm, if you want to engage in it, you have to be willing to, you know, step outside the realm of reducing everything down to facts and logics. You have to be willing to step into the realm of, I mean, I would say magic, I would say faith. Experience. Actually, it's not just faith, it's experience. You asked for a sign and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, writing it down, I always suggest that if you're really trying to grow and enhance in this way, start writing these things down. And that way you can see how often it happens and that there is a logical pattern, actually. And there, it's just a piece of logic we're missing in our larger oversoul society right now. We haven't integrated it in. Many of these things were integrated into past societies not that long ago, even in the United States. I mean, even going back 100 years or whatever, I mean, it was common knowledge
that the dead would speak. Mary Todd Lincoln, she was totally into that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, there was, we've actually lost some of that. And I guess because we focused on other things, which it's great to develop scientifically, it's great to develop, you know, technologically, but we want to have our spiritual technology too, I hope. I mean, I hope we're going to have that going forward. So yes, you can interface with these powers, these realms. It's pretty easy if you're just open. I don't think it's hard. I don't think you have to be naturally gifted. If you are, you can excel. And just like being a dancer, right? If some children are born with that ability, you can see it. Their bodies are formed a certain way. They're going to be ballerinas, right? Even if you're not born to be a ballerina, you can learn to dance. Most people, you know, if you have two legs and you can walk, it's possible.
I like that comparison.
Right. We're not all going to be Russian ballerinas or French ballerinas or, you know, we're not all going to dance at the Met, right? Okay. And nor would you want to, because to be, you know, at that level requires great discipline and sacrifice. Yeah, you can just be open to that aspect of yourself. So I know I keep saying that, but I want to really get that message home that can be that simple.
And when you go to read someone, I would guess, I don't know how your brain works. I would like to be in your brain for a day just to see how it works. I think it's
that'd be trippy. I mean, to be in anybody else's brain, right? I could be in your brain. That would be interesting.
But I would like to experience kind of how these things come to you. I would imagine, and I'm guessing, I don't know, when you read someone and you sit down with them, you pick up a certain way. Maybe when you walk into a building or a home, there's different energy that you pick up there as well.
Oh, yes. And sometimes pretty strong one way or the other.
So let's start with reading a person. How does that kind of come to you? And what kind of information do you like? Some people like to hold, you know, if I want to, set up a reading with you to try to connect to a loved one. Would I bring something of theirs, or do you want any information prior to the reading?
You know, I don't normally want a lot of information. I find that it can interfere with the reading, and each psychic's process is different. That's just mine. And I work primarily over the phone or Zoom these days. I do still do some in-person sessions, but let's face it, I live in Wichita, Kansas. The population here is not that large. So I've worked over the phone for many, many years. This is nothing to do with COVID, okay? It's just, you know, there are people everywhere, and including outside of the country. I have an international clientele as well. And that Zoom is very good for that because international phone bills are high. So I don't really get the opportunity to set with them. Now, when I work here, I do, and that can be helpful. But remember, again, with my own process, I really find that their voice is the gateway. What I might ask them to do, though, is to have, you know, especially since it's happening at a distance, I ask the client to have something nearby that reminds them of the person. So the client is connecting to their passed on loved one, and then I'm going to connect with the client and then everything in their sphere through that. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense.
So if you want to break it down, I mean, and I really don't think of it normally this scientifically, but that is the process. I guess there is a, you know, a process at least to it, a framework. And in terms of the information, how it comes in, it's hard to put into words, but it comes into my inner being. It comes into my physical being. I can feel it in my body. Depending on how deep I go into a trance state, and sometimes I go deep, sometimes I don't. It's what is needed. How I feel led. I try to generally work only in the lighter trance states because that is safer, you know, and I like to be able to remember a little bit for 5 minutes at least. You know, it's weird to black out in a reading, right? So,
and, but you could.
Well, I mean, you can go so deep. You most psychics don't remember readings. I don't remember readings that well. And I have a very good memory, by the way. I mean, very excellent. That's how I got a PhD. Okay, you have to have a good memory.
I'm impressed by that.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's school. But but my point is you have to be able to remember things to go through school. But when it comes to readings, it's a different form of experience. So you just have to let it flow through you and try not to censor it. And that's harder to do than you think for any human being because, you know, even after having done thousands of readings, I mean, even today, the piece of guidance came through and I thought, well, this doesn't fit this person or what I think. And I told him, I said, listen, I'm having some resistance. This is how I deal. I'm having some resistance around this. I'm just going to tell you, but I don't think it really fits you, but my responsibility is just to pass it on. And then that's a good way to deal with it because that acknowledges your, you know, resistance. But a lot of people censor themselves, even psychics who've done a long time, you know, sometimes. So you just, the art of being a psychic, okay, I'm not saying being psychic for yourself, but a lot, largely it is the art of not censoring yourself, what you get, and being open, being courageous, being willing to go out on the limb and just share what you're getting when it doesn't make sense. Because especially when you're dealing with reading for the dead, I mean, you're reading about somebody who's passed, you're reading for somebody who has unresolved emotional issues typically. You know, this isn't a career reading, and I do a lot of those. It's not a love reading. I do a lot of those, or, you know, I do a lot of readings dealing with the issues in the here and now, I'm saying. But when you're dealing with the so-called dead, I mean, what they say to you is not going to make sense most of the time. You don't know them. You often don't know the person you're reading for.
Right.
And it could be strange things that you don't understand, and you just hope the client understands it. And so you have to be willing to risk ridicule even. And I just hope it turns out well. That's an act of faith. And that happens every time. You have to be willing.
Yeah.
And it generally, it does turn out well. Generally, I mean, it still surprises me, you know, that people understand like what these spirits are saying.
Because
you know?
They have a relationship between right. the two of them. You might be talking about, oh, he wants me to talk about cute little ducks. And you're
right.
like, what the heck? Why? But she remembers a time when they were together at a lake and there were
exactly,
cute little ducks.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, what I mean by getting the inner censor out of the way. You could just as easily say getting your ego out of the way, which by the way is a good practice for all forms of reading, getting the ego out of the way. But that's also hard to do. So
I think that's a good thing for a lot of people to just work on in general.
Yeah, and it's a life's work, isn't it? It's a life's work.
What is it like when you walk into a building or a home where you really do pick up on an energy? How do you feel that energy? Is it a visual? Is it?
It's usually in my body, in the type of, you know, in the sense of dwellings. You know, I will usually feel it first in my body right away in some part, whether that's a, and this doesn't happen very often, but let's say it's a really bad energy. And you know what I mean by really bad. I'm not mm-hmm. going to try to science it out with big words.
No.
You know, we all know, that feeling like this place has bad, it just has bad vibes. A lot of times when I step over the threshold, my feet will feel very heavy and it will be difficult to walk further. And of course, that's also my intuition and my inner psychic, my guide saying, hey, you might not want to go too far or pay attention to how you walk in here. So that's something I personally experience. I don't know if others experience that. I actually have not had a lot of conversations. I'd like to have conversations. I think that'd be interesting. And if others,
I just think it's interesting how you feel it.
Usually you notice it right away if it's a bad vibe place, like totally bad. But, you know, a lot of places are mixed vibes. So it might even be like if it's a house, you know, it might be one room has pretty pleasant vibes, but you go into one that doesn't. And so then I'm already over the threshold, but maybe my feet stop me again in the room. Sometimes there can be visions if I'm there long enough of things that might have happened or just a feeling. I pay attention to my own thoughts, and any medium person should do this. Now, medium, keep in mind that mediums are sensitive, you know, to energies in a different way, and that we can actually become imprinted by them. So we have to have an awareness similar to empathy, right? So if I find in a space my thoughts, say, start to take a depressive turn, you know, even a slight one, that can be a sign to me, and often that space is imprinting on me. So I can experience it that way if it is a depressed space, you know, or a place where something happened. If I start thinking or feeling things that are different than my baseline, of course, you have to know your baseline to notice this, right? Mm-hmm. You have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to know, I mean, there could be something going on in my life that I'm depressed about. But yeah, if there's not, and I start feeling
that's
myself turn that way, and I can correct it if I start feeling that. And if I realize that's what's causing, I can, you know, dare I use the word protect myself just by acknowledging, oh, this the energies of this place.
That was something I was going to ask you about, was protecting yourself. If you're in a situation where you're reading someone and something kind of really dark comes into you, or maybe you go into a home and you feel that. And I think a lot of us do feel that. I know that I can walk in a place and go, oh, I am not comfortable
yes.
here. Don't like this. And you feel that. Is there a way that you are able to kind of put up a little protection around you?
Well, there is.
It would come in.
And there's a lot of things you can do in that situation. I mean, I think first of all, it just bears saying that if you're able to get out of it. That is the ultimate protection. And, you know, I mean, I've even told students, I mean, if you're reading for somebody and, you know, it goes south, and that doesn't happen very often, but it has happened once or twice for me. If you can just get out, that is the best thing. And that is the smartest thing. But sometimes, for whatever reason, we don't feel like we can do that. And typically, these energies can make you feel trapped. And that's interesting. I find that, you know, interesting that they're able to do that. So I think one of the best things to do, I mean, of course, you can put up a white light, but you may not be able to do that because sometimes it grabs your mind. So here's a tip, like, and it's timely because I'm getting ready to teach a class on psychic protection this weekend. So one of the things, I mean, if you ever feel under assault, basically, you know, and of course, try to do the white light. I believe many people have heard that. You know, we visualize the white light around us. Although it's not going to mean much if you haven't done it before, if you haven't practiced it, but it's worth a try, even if you haven't. But if you can't quite get your mind to go there, a lot of times it has your mind, that the dark will get your mind. Try to take control of your body. And you do that by getting up. If you're sitting down, you get up and you move around. You leave the room if you can. You walk 3 feet if that's all you can do. You shift your position in the chair if you can't get up. Preferably, you would get up and leave the room or find a place in the room or in the place where you feel strong standing. And standing would be better than sitting. And once you get some control of your body, you will start to regain control of your senses, your mind. And from there, you can figure something out. You'll be able to figure it out once you get there. And of course, there's nuances to this, you know, get control of your breathing. But again, that's hard to do if you don't have control of the larger body. So that's why sort of just, you know, saying, like, say you're dealing with somebody in a meeting or something. I think we've all had this experience, even if you've never been in a haunted house. Let's say you've been in a work meeting and you can tell you're dealing with a real class A sociopath, okay? Right. I mean, haven't you had that experience? We all had that experience?
I
work in the spiritual realm and I've had that experience, okay? You wouldn't think I would have, but yes. So sometimes you can just say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, and go to the bathroom and use the bathroom if you need to, but just go to the bathroom and do some stretching or moving, get yourself together again. And there's other nuances you can do, but yeah, get yourself together again. There's different visualizations you can do, but those won't do you any good if you don't have control of your mind. And it does help. This is going to sound a little superstitious, but that's why a lot of psychics will wear different jewelries and rings and things, or, you know, shamans and witches and readers, and, you know, they'll have little talismans that they wear, you know, for protection. And whether the object itself actually protects, which I believe they can when properly infused, but sometimes just touching that ring you wear all the time brings you back into your body.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's so true in a lot of different situations. If you're upset, if you're angry, if all the emotions, right. If you can focus back on
something,
your ring,
right? Your ring, your bracelet, your whatever, your power necklace. Yes. Those are some things that can help. I mean, they're quick fixes, you know, for crisis situations. Over time, what we want to do is build up our energy levels so that we're less vulnerable. Nobody is not vulnerable, though, at all. And there are people, and I just want to say this because I bet there's one or two listening. There are people that believe that if you build your light up enough, that you will not have any weakness to the dark. And that's simply not correct. And that idea is dangerous because, you know, you should always be vigilant. Not paranoid, vigilant. We need to keep our awareness that one of the things that can happen, I think, as we grow our light and our connection to spirit, we can, you know, if we sense that darkness, we can say, oh, well, it's not really dark. You know, it's just they're different. Sometimes it really is dark, and sometimes you really should get the hell out of there, you know, whether that's a space or a relationship. And sometimes you are in danger. And I know from firsthand experience of having ignored that, you know, that the consequences can be devastating, especially if you are a natural psychic medium, if you have those tendencies. You know, again, I'm not saying you do readings for others, but let's just say you're wired that way.
Even the intuition, like we were talking about.
Right. If you have intuition and you find you're an empath or you're sensitive, yeah, don't put yourself in danger like that.
Well, I want to wrap up this conversation where we started.
Okay.
We started with you being a little girl living in a haunted house.
Yes.
I was also a young girl living in a haunted house, and I understand that feeling. What you shared with us about your house burning down sounds like a very terrifying time
terrifying, Cynthia. You know, and I was so young, so my memories around it are not as clear as my siblings, although they tell me a lot of stories that are very interesting. I do have some memories, and what it seems like over time, and there were multiple spirits, actually, but there was a specific one near the end that started for a couple of years, started getting more and more agitated. It started getting more flamboyant and aggressive in its, you know, showing itself. Like, for example, we would leave to go shopping, and my mom would always leave the bathroom light on because it's a dark house, and that way we could see when we came in, and it would always be turned off. And, you know, and she had a boyfriend at the time. My dad and her had split up. And so anyway, John was his name. And he didn't believe, like, you know, he didn't believe it, right? But he did eventually believe it. Let's just put it that way, because things
happened.
He
didn't have any choice.
No, he didn't have any. And he was scared and wouldn't come back, actually. And that's, we ended up, you know, all of us moving from there. Of course, there was a fire, but he's like, well, let's just get a house together. But yeah, so one time she kept complaining to him about this light, you know, being turned off. He's like, oh, you just forgot to turn it on. And, you know, this is what people do. They try to rationalize. And well, and then she actually was, my mom, I won't repeat the words, but she did cuss. She did grow up on a farm, and her dad had been in the Navy. But anyway, so she's cussing out the ghost and saying, blah, 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 this light better not be, you know, turned off when we come back. And we came back, and the light bulb was unscrewed.
Oh,
and
wow.
So this was kind of the beginning of the escalations. And one time John decided to stay over and left a tape recorder running. This is back in the days of magnetic tape. And this is actually how we know for sure there were several entities. There were several voices on there. I don't have the tapes anymore. I wish I did, but I'm the youngest, and you know, there was a fire and all that. I don't know if they had him after that. I don't know, but it scared him. He wouldn't come back because there actually were sounds of chains and moaning on there. So this was not in a good place, this house. My mother, okay, she was very Protestant, although she had turned away from the church, but she, now I'm not saying I feel this way because I'm a universalist, right? All religions, but she did not like the Catholic faith very much because she had to spend some time at a nunnery when she was younger and felt abused by that. So anyway, she didn't care for that very strongly, she felt. But she was so scared and at her wit's end that she did call upon a Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest did agree to do an exorcise, even though we are not Catholic, which is totally outside of, you know, you probably know that they're not allowed to do that. But he felt...
He knew you were in trouble.
Well, he knew there were children in the house. And I don't know if it was a full-fledged exorcism, but he did come in and sprinkle some holy water around and say some stuff and do some things. And I don't, you know, I was a child, so I don't know what all those rituals were that were done. I do remember that he came. And that's when the house burnt down. It the structure, some of it was left, but there was a weird gas fire. We were gone. Now, it didn't kill us, but then we didn't have, it was so much smoke damage. My mother did tell the landlord, you know, repeat, because we lived there for many years, that this, you know, it's not a good house. They did go in and tear, anyway, they rebuilt. And it burnt down again from the same thing later. So now there is no house there.
Wow.
It's part of somebody's yard. And, you know, I guess, yeah, that made an impact on me, most likely. You know, I mean, I don't really think about it as making an impact. But there were also angelic forces that I could feel that were protecting me in at night, because I could feel the spirit.
Because you said you
It was trying to get
young.
To me. And it yeah. was trying to get to me. I could actually feel the dark forces trying to get to me. And I could feel the angelic forces protecting me. So I guess from the young age, you know, I've been protected by angelic forces. I guess, I don't know why, but I was, you know.
Do you think that some of your experiences as a young girl kind of opened you up to it at that age?
Well, I knew it was real for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, if people are like, ghosts aren't real, I was like, well, the hell they're not.
I know.
I mean, if you lose, you know, you lose all your stuff over and have to move homes and, you know, you don't have any clothes left and, you know, it changes your mind.
It took everything.
Yeah, it took everything. I mean, we had to go stay at the Salvation Army. I mean, so.
I always say, if somebody says, I don't believe in ghosts, I always tell them, it's because you've never had an experience.
Right. I don't believe either. I've experienced. It's not a belief, okay?
Right?
A belief is something you can't know. An experience. to something that has happened to you. And of course, there's been other experiences. I think, you know, well, I don't think I know as an adult, many of us have had, you know, experiences of seeing things and hearing things. But that probably still to this day is my most obviously visceral experience.
That was
all of it added up, the years.
Terrifying and amazing and interesting. It was a lot of emotions I felt when you were telling me.
Well, I don't talk about this very often. And one of the reasons I don't is because I really don't want to focus in my work on the negative aspect of the paranormal. You know, I don't want people to think that all ghosts are like that. They're certainly not, or that all spirits are like that. That is an exception. There are other exceptions, but the world of spirit is full of, you know, many beautiful things. And it also, there are some dark entities, that is true.
Now, how can someone get in touch with you? Because maybe they want to schedule a reading. Maybe they would like, because you do classes and coursework and help mentor people. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, they can check out my website at cynthiakillian.com. And Killian is spelled like million, but with a K. So everybody can spell million, I think.
I hope so.
Or is it billions now? I guess.
Because it's either.
And also, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Cynthia Killian on there. Actually, if you go to Facebook and type Cynthia Psychic or Psychic Cynthia, there's a strong chance you'll just be able to find me. So I have a personal page. And also, I have Psychic Cynthia page, too. So there are other Psychic Cynthias, I will just say. But there's only I have the Psychic Cynthia Facebook page. So
I loved this conversation today. I think it was very interesting, insightful. And it gave me a lot to think about, too. And I just really, really appreciate your time today.
Well, thank you for having
me.
And thanks to all the listeners for tuning in.
Thank you so much for this today. And that wraps up our conversation with Psychic Cynthia. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days, absolutely free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and get everything there, all ad-free. For all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Carol Hughes, and thank you for listening.